Now, it gives me great pleasure to introduce one of our own local boys here from Arroyo Grande, Scott L.
Wow. Hi, I'm Scott, and I'm alcoholic. I'm gonna say it. Anyway, wow, this is a... I never looked at it from this point of view before. My sobriety date is August 24th, 2011, so I'm coming up on 8 years, God willing. Man, what a difference. For the longest time, I thought I drank so much that I became an alcoholic, you know, and I found out that I was born that way, you know. I look back after hearing other people's shares and reading stories in the big book and stuff. You know, even when I was a little kid, you know, I just didn't like what God had given me. You know, I was just felt kind of different, you know, uncomfortable. I mean, I had blonde, curly hair. I wanted straight hair, you know. I wanted that feathered back look, you know, like the school circle. You know, and I did some weird stuff to try to be that way. And people said my eyes were a little squinty, and I tried to, like, open them up and stuff. I mean, there's pictures in yearbooks I hope nobody ever sees again. You know? But, you know, I used to try to flatten my hair out after I took a shower, and so it would lay flat, and then I'd get that part, you know, and turned out it was just bozo looking, you know. So I really was a freak, you know. But that was, you know, high school years. That was very awkward for me, but... you know, growing up through high school, I'm number 5 out of 6 kids, and we're all about 2 years apart. So by the time I was in high school, my older brothers and sisters, they'd already experimented with the beer drinking and whatever, smoking pot, and my parents freaked out when they were doing it. But by the time I came around, it was kind of like, if you're going to do it, just stay home, you know, or call me if you need a ride and stuff like that. So it was kind of almost allowed to drink beer, you know. My mom thinks that she made a mistake saying that, but I've assured her that, you know, I was going to do it anyway, you know, because I'm an alcoholic, and you can't explain this thing to a normal person. But so anyway, I treated my uncomfortableness with alcohol for a lot of years, you know, and it worked. You know, I was able to kind of let loose of that stuff, you know, kind of let loose at parties, and, you know, when I was old enough to go to bars, I thought I was in heaven, you know, and it worked up for a really long time until I was 45 when I got here this last time, but I did come in when I was 40 let me back that up a little bit. I wrecked the family car when I was 17, drunk off my ass. Didn't think I had a problem then. I thought I'd just watch it, you know. Didn't have any repercussions from that, really. My stepdad was a chief of police of the neighboring town, and the car was registered in his name, so they kind of kept it hush hush, you know. You know, and that should have been a red flag, but anyway, I just watched it, and then I got another DUI in 94. I thought I'd just watch it again. I was court ordered to AA, and I heard that you could have your friends sign it, the judge isn't going to check, you know, kind of deal. Got another DUI in 97. This time I decided to go check out one AA meeting, you know, see what it's about, you know, and what I found out was everybody seemed like way too happy to be sober. And they're like really happy to meet me, and I was like, I don't know you guys, you know. And then at the end, the clincher was at the end of the meeting, we had to hold hands and do the Lord's Prayer. And I was like, that kind of chased me out of there, you know, and I wasn't ready for that. You know, and but a seed was planted, I think, you know. Later on in 2006, my brother was going to AA, and I was kind of having problems. My girlfriend thought it might be a good idea if I went and checked it out, and so I went to the Serenity Group and got to know some people there, and I was able to not drink for about 4 months. But I didn't jump into the program. I didn't get a sponsor, but I did like the meetings and the people, and you know, there's a part in the big book says, if you're not sure if you're an alcoholic, go out and try some controlled drinking. And if you ask me how I was doing when I was not drinking that period, I said, I'm fine, man, this is great, you know. But I was like that boy whistling in the dark, you know. try to keep my spirits up. I was would have given anything to have a couple drinks and get away with it. You know, it says that, right? I don't know it word for word, but anyway, I went out, had a couple beers one night on purpose, and thought, if it doesn't work, I'll just come back. You know, and I had a couple beers one night, went home, it was cool. But within a week, I was a daily drinker again, you know, drinking hard booze and stuff. And this went on. I started getting in trouble at work. And still, I didn't have any desire to quit drinking. I was starting to get sent home in the morning. I've been a carpenter most of my life. And I was like, I'm the foreman on this one big project. And I'm the one that got sent home first thing in the morning by the superintendent. You know, it was like... I don't know. I thought I was, you know, we get kind of cocky when we're getting put in good positions. And but anyway, it was pretty embarrassing. But I really tried to knock it off. I cleaned up my act for a little bit. And like within a month, I did the same thing again. You know, they gave me chances, but they had to let me go, you know. And about the last 2 years of my drinking, I wasn't working. I was on unemployment and I could drink around the clock. The worst feeling for someone in that position for me was when you run out of booze and money, and you know, it was like I wanted to just cry. I didn't know what I was going to do. Somehow I'd managed to get buzzed again, you know, get borrow money or whatever, but it was pretty sad. You know, people were looking at you like, I don't know, most of them probably experienced it. People were looking at you like, what is wrong with you? You know, because people know you have, they say potential, I hate that word, but, you know, they just know there's, what is wrong with you? Why do you do those things, you know? And it was just embarrassing, you know, but I couldn't do anything about it. I didn't realize I didn't have a choice in the matter. And my last drunk, it was a Saturday morning, beautiful sunny day. I know I was drinking that morning, and I was just kind of cleaning out my truck in the driveway, and next thing I know, I woke up, I came to in the driveway with a broken jaw. I still, to this day, don't know what happened. It was just, I don't know, I like to think God just reached out and just said, knock it off. Because, things happen for a reason. Nothing happens by mistake, they say. At first, I wanted to blame my neighbor. I was going to call the cops and stuff. And, I looked at myself in the mirror, and I was just like, you know, fat lip, bloody face, and maybe now's a good time, you know. But I remember I had a drink laying on the dirt next to me, and it didn't spill all the way. And when I came to, I tried to drink it, take a swig off it, and it came right back up. And that's when I said, maybe now's a good time, you know. And I'd been wanting to quit for a long time, and that was a... That was the last time I remember taking a drink. I went to the hospital and they sent me home with some pain pills. I couldn't get any work done. I didn't have insurance at the time, so I had to wait a couple days to have my mouth wired shut. But I remember that first time I quit drinking, I was uncomfortable for about a month, and then I started sleeping regularly and stuff. But this time, 5 years later, the second night of not drinking, I woke up in the middle of the night and I was hallucinating horribly. People laugh at it. It is kind of funny looking back at it, but I could swear there was a little snake poking his head out of my gum. I could feel it with my tongue, you know, and I was like freaking out and not making sense, and I stopped making sense. I went in the backyard and laid there with my mouth open, hoping it would crawl away, you know. And at first, I remember being really calm, but, you know, somebody finally calmed me down way later after I was crying on the phone with somebody and told me it was DTs. You know, I probably should have been hospitalized. A lot of people don't snap out of it. They have seizures and stuff. I didn't know all that. But anyway, how much time do I have? Okay. My recovery, this time when I, you know, I didn't come back until after the wires were off my jaw. I was afraid to come back and look like a loser, you know. I told my sponsor that. My sponsor, I got a sponsor right away, and he says, you know, you should have come back right away. You would have been the perfect newcomer. You got your mouth wired shut. You can't say anything. All you can do is listen. You know, it's funny, a couple of years after I got in the program, this other kid showed up with a broken jaw, and I had to laugh at him, you know. And, you know, I don't know where he is now, but we kind of talked. We became friends a little bit. But anyway, you know, when I said, hey, I'm Scott, I'm an alcoholic, this time when I came back, I cried. It brought tears to my eyes. I could not hold back. I fought it, but I let it go. And it was such a relief. Because this time I knew I was an alcoholic, and this is what we do about it. I was, like, out of ideas, and I just kind of had that gift of desperation. I just did what was suggested, you know. And the key things that helped me were, like, when they told me it was the first drink that gets you drunk, I didn't get that for the longest time, you know. It takes me, like, 6 just so I can feel it, you know. And but if you don't take that first drink, you can't get drunk. And now it makes sense, I mean, but... And another thing that I heard was, you know, once you get past the DTs, you know, anybody can not drink for a day. And that's all we have to worry about is today. And that, because thinking about not drinking the rest of my life was more than I could handle. And one of the big things I've gotten out of this program was breaking stuff down into manageable chunks. You know, somebody suggested you're going to clean the kitchen, just do it like one drawer at a time. You don't have to do the whole thing. You know, even the yard work. I don't know, just... If I do that, things are manageable. It doesn't become overwhelming, you know. So I don't know if anybody got anything out of that. It feels like it's been 10 minutes. So thank you.